Well, our theme this year is all about connection. We've talked about our connection with creation, our connection with the voice of God within us. We've talked about our connection to our past and how that affects our present. And now we're in a series on connecting with Jesus and the power of hope that comes through that very relationship, right? So we have been created for connection. We can't run from it. We cannot hide. It is what it is. And so we spend our lives searching. Searching for meaning, which is just another way to say that we have been searching for connection. But a lot of times what we end up doing is connecting to the wrong people, for the wrong purposes, at the wrong times, and we followed maybe the wrong gods, little g gods, right? And then one day we say, wow, this really isn't working for me. And so we stop doing that thing that we always do that never works, which is the definition of, thank you. And so what we do is we hear Jesus, though, speak through our insanity. And Jesus says, I've come to give you life. I've come to give you life to its fullest, but you have to stay connected to me. And I've got some things to teach you, so come walk with me, stay connected, and listen. And so there we are. That relationship is called the kingdom of heaven. And Matthew, which is where our passage is coming from today, and really we're talking about the Sermon on the Mount, which is chapter 5 through 7. But Matthew uses this term, kingdom of heaven, 32 times in his writing. So it must be important, right? And so here what we're going to see is that what Jesus is trying to teach us that the kingdom of heaven is that living under his principles, living with what he has said is valuable. He's got a value system that is really antithetical to our value system. And so all during our journey with Jesus, what we're trying to do is put aside our value systems for Jesus' value systems. And he has to show us as he teaches us that. In our passage today, right at the end, this is kind of a warning from Jesus because this is important stuff. Listening to him, being led by him, living the life that he says we can live and we were created to live. It's so important that he gives a warning. So we're gonna start at the end and work our way back. We're gonna start with the warning and then go back. Because what we need to do is we need to prepare our hearts to be receptive. See yourself, in your journey with God as a student. And it doesn't matter how old you are. We will always be a student of our best teacher.
Our scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29, and it's from the Message. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. Homeowner improvements to your standards of living. They are fundamental words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built a house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, or tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on a sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. When Jesus concluded this address, the crowd burst into applause. They had never heard teachings like this. It was apparent that he was living especially what he was saying. Quite a contrast to the religious teachers. This was the best teaching that they ever heard. The Word of God for the people of God.
Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you. Thank you that you do show us the way. You are our best teacher. So Lord, would you continue to help us find your paths. Guide us in your truth and teach us. For you are God, our Savior, and our hope is in you all day long. Amen. Can you remember the very best sermon that you've ever heard? Can you? What was last week about? I preached 3 weeks ago. You remember? Nah, you don't. You don't. So now think about the best teacher that you ever had. Think about the best teacher that you ever had. You remember why they were your best teacher? I'm guessing that maybe they showed you care and concern. Like, you were important to them. I bet you that they invested their time, a lot of times giving you, like, individualized attention. Like, maybe, like, you were the only student, although you weren't. I bet you they were making you aware of something that's always been there, but that you couldn't see without them showing it to you. They shared their knowledge of their specialty, whatever it was that they were showing you. I remember two teachers in my early life, Mrs. Raines, my first grade teacher, and Mrs. Hill, my third grade teacher. Mrs. Raines will forever be imprinted upon my soul because she terrorized me. I broke my arm coming off of the monkey bars and she said, "That's not broken. Come here, little girl." I was so afraid of her. She wouldn't let me go to the restroom. I didn't learn any. I don't remember learning anything from her except being very afraid of her. Some of you have similar stories. And then there was Mrs. Hill. Mrs. Hill redeemed what a teacher was to this little girl because she showed such care and love. She was strict. She would keep me within the bounds of the rules of what she was trying to show me. But I knew that she wanted to invest time, that she was concerned about me, that she was for me and not against me, that there was a safe place to learn. I remember two teachers in my later life. One of them was my very first drill sergeant. I don't remember his name, but I can see his face just as clear, just right here. My drill sergeant and Dr. Ball, one of my seminary professors. And I don't remember them so much for what I learned, the curriculum, the studying, the reading, the push-ups, did all of that. But it's how they treated me with what I was learning. It's how there was even in the midst of great suffering and basic training, there was a focus on what was going to be good for me. But I knew that he was putting me through this training at times that was excruciatingly painful to prepare me to be a soldier. He was helping me to see that there was a lot more within me than I thought. And he was drawing it out of me. And it's how he really carried his knowledge to me, the character and the care of me, even when he was yelling at me in my face like this. And there were times when there was a moment that I actually saw and experienced kindness from my drill sergeant. It was a personal thing between he and I, and I could tell that what he was training me in, what he was teaching me to do as a soldier, was going to be important for the future. You see, there was a quote I read. It wasn't about what I knew, how many years he had been a soldier, or I didn't even know his educational background. But what he did was he brought who he was to me to show me what a soldier was all about. And he was going to infuse my life with what he knew, so that when I went where I could be in danger, I would be ready. This quote that I read this week is kind of in a different setting, but it said, "Kindergarten teachers often understand the craft better than those of us with PhDs, perhaps because students in the lower grades are like the child in the emperor's new clothes. They do not care what graduate school you attended, who chaired your dissertation committee, or how many books you have written, but they quickly sense whether you are real, and they respond accordingly." Our teachers that we remember were real to us. They're patient, persistent, and you know, our best teacher sees our need before we do. My drill sergeant, he knew that he had to teach me how to break down an M16 and put it back together again, because he knew that at some point I may need to defend myself or someone else. I remember the day he called me to his office and he dogged me for a half an hour with push-ups. And I did push-ups until I could do no more push-ups. But he knew that there was a test coming one day, and he had to get me physically prepared to pass that test, because you can't stay in basic training. So he learned, he taught me to not only carry my own pack, but I had to carry someone else's pack when they were falling under the load. And so he was teaching me what leadership really looks like. He challenged me so that I could realize my own gifts and strength. You see, good teachers do that. They are authentically present, and they're trying to infuse you with what they know to be true, and what their skills and experiences, where they have even failed. They're trying to let you know that you don't go that direction. So what makes Jesus our best teacher? Well, all these things, and as they say, much, much more. This may sound funny, but this is a way that I picture Jesus. When my dad, being at Father's Day, this kind of came up to me, when he taught me how to ski, water ski. Grew up in Indiana, water skiing every Sunday. We didn't go to church. That's not an invitation. But he taught me how to ski. And so if anybody who's all water skied here, excellent. So you know, I learned two skis for the longest time. Then when I became a teenager, Dad said, "You're ready to go slalom. Ready to go one ski. You can do it, Tammy. You can do it. Get out there. It's the hardest thing." I was so afraid. And so he said, "Just bend your knees into it, and you're going to pop right up out of that water." So after the 35th time, going around the lake and coming back to me, that's me and Jesus. He says, Tammy, you're going to learn to slalom on this one. And my best teacher, he stays with me. And he always comes back around to get me. And let's try this again. And always comes back around and let's try this again. Just bend your knees into it and you're going to pop right up. You see, in the very first temptation that Jesus experienced before his ministry begins, before we get to the Sermon on the Mount, he shows us that fulfilling our hungers can never take the place of our most essential need, which is to listen to the words of our best teacher. He says we cannot live on bread alone, but we will only be able to thrive by every word of God. The very living word of God. Can I tell you, if there is someone making you doubt that this is the inspired word of God, run the other way. Because we can try to explain this book away because we don't want to do what it says, or we think that our reason can figure out all the mysteries so then that we control everything. I can give you some information why you can trust this if you need it to bolster your faith. But we don't need false teachers like that. We have been given this word. This is the only thing you can trust. I can stand up here and tell the most amazing stories. And I can tell you what I think. But you better be checking it out in this. Because we have many teachers out there. And the word says that they'll tickle our ears, tell us what we want to hear. Oh, that's not the way. We need to follow our best teacher. And when we start getting into this word, we become hungry for the truth. Is anybody just tired of the noise on social media? The constant information coming at us 24/7. I might check out the headlines here and there, but I don't stay there long. You know why? Because I need to be steeped in this to handle that. We start sitting under our best teacher more, we'll become more hungry for it. It's like it raining after 100 days. It refreshes your soul. So it may interest you that Jesus was the greatest teacher that ever walked this earth. He was Master, Redeemer, Lord, Savior. But of the 90 times Jesus was addressed directly in the Gospels, 60 times he was called teacher. This was the word that the multitudes used. The disciples referred to him as our teacher. And he said, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. So he knew his role as the great teacher. When Nicodemus came to him, Nicodemus said, we know that you are from God, that you are a great teacher. Because our souls hunger to be taught, even in our rebellion, even in our resistance. We hunger for connection because it's wired into us, our need to hear from our best teacher. We know we don't have everything we need. Scottish theologian James Stewart said the teaching of Jesus has had a power and an effect with which the influence of no other teacher can even for a moment be compared. When Jesus had finished giving the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew tells us the crowds were so amazed at his teaching because he taught as one having authority, not like the religious leaders who just quoted each other. He never entered a classroom as we know a classroom. He never had a degree as we understand an educational degree. Yet all the world was his classroom. No degree teacher did anything greater than what Jesus Christ did. He was truly the best teacher of all time. So was Jesus a teacher? As far as, did he teach well? Consider his final words, his last instructions. Go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have taught you. And his final command was a teaching command. And how well did it work? 2,000 years have passed, and today across the world over 2 billion people bear his name. Christianity has spread from Jerusalem to every corner of the globe, and at this very moment, multiplied thousands of people are doing what Jesus said to do. They are teaching all nations. And we do that here, and I pray it will continue. But we have a challenge. I was watching Family Feud with Jack the other day, and this family was on there, and the question was, what is the most, the best day where people stay home and sleep in? Favorite day. What is it? Sunday. People want to sleep in on Sundays. Today, only 13% of people in the average church read their Bible every day. That's hard. If people don't see any more importance about coming to church but sleeping in, and then we're not in our word, we're not learning from our best teacher. And most likely, someone else is teaching us because that vacuum will be filled. We're learning every day from media, from movies, to your next door neighbor. What are you learning? And from whom are you learning it? Because we're always being called back to listen to him. Because in Hebrews it says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, talking about the Old Testament. And it goes on, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. And it's not difficult to drift. There's 100 people trying to teach you something on Facebook. We can stop and listen to our best teacher and turn away from voices that really aren't going to do us much good. And I invite people to do that because we do not live on bread alone. We're going to build our lives, build it on the rock, not on sand. So picture everything else as sand out there. Picture everything else as sand, and the waters come, and they will come. So, it is my responsibility to teach you what God says, not my opinions, not my reasoning. And I hope that I have done that well here. This in my last sermon at St. Mark's, I hope that if you remember a sermon that I taught, that you remember that I always pointed you back to your best teacher, Jesus. Because you can't go wrong with that. You can't. I want to pass through some other notes because, you know, you'll remember me as she went a little long on her sermons. Just thought I'd have that last few minutes on my last sermon here. I did want to say what I've learned from you. And I could write a book I really could. But a few things I've learned from you as my teachers is that love, compassion, mercy, and justice can be shown by anyone at any age, no matter physical limitations. I also learned that retirement is a social construct that does not affect your service to the Lord. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Keep that up. That at times it's possible to experience the presence of God more tangibly by someone's bedside than in the sanctuary. That yarn and fabric can turn into a carrier of God's healing and comfort. There's no end to how spaghetti can be turned into missions. And that the trustees still rock this house. And last of all, I don't think that Jack and I have experienced such love in some of our most difficult times than we have here at St. Mark's. And I believe that God placed us here for a time because of that. So here's the ultimate question. Who's your teacher? Who are you allowing to shape your heart and mind? Is Jesus your best teacher? There is a scripture that says, if he's not, the blind will follow the blind, and they will end up in a pit. Not a good place. But disciples aren't greater than their teacher, but whoever is fully prepared will be like their teacher. He ends that scripture that way. Because we can be like our teacher. We really can, and that's the invitation today, to be like our teacher. There's a scripture in Matthew 8, right after the Sermon on the Mount, where a scribe comes up to him and says, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Let this be our prayer today. Can you say that with me? Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Let's say it again. Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.